detection to survivorship care. And these are very important companion areas, as is the area of care for women who have already been diagnosed with cancer. So I would first like to acknowledge my research team, which consists of investigators at the University of Maryland School of Medicine, our collaborators from the Sisters Network, which is a national African-American breast cancer survivors network, specifically the Baltimore chapter, and the American Cancer Society. We were supported by grants from the Lance Armstrong Foundation and the Maryland affiliate of Komen for the Cure. So we know that patients differ in their desire for information about primary treatment of breast cancer and also follow-up care. We also know that patients differ in their ability to get information from physicians during medical appointments. Some of this is manifested as differential ability to ask questions, express concerns, state preferences when women are with their physicians. We also know that studies have reported that African American women report less information, fewer opportunities for participation decision making during medical appointments than do Caucasian women. The Institute of Medicine in 2006, in their report called Lost in Transition, looked at the kinds of recommendations that typically were not given by physicians to cancer survivors, breast cancer survivors. And based on this, they came up with a set of recommendations as to the kind of information that physicians should be providing to their cancer patients. And this includes physicians across the board. The issue of who does follow-up care to breast cancer survivors once primary care treatment is complete is a whole different issue. And, you know, women might be receiving their follow-up care from primary care physicians. They may be receiving it from medical oncologists. But across the board, regardless of who is delivering this care, these are the kinds of information that should be provided, and they're listed here. Specifically, screening guidelines, and this is a very interesting finding. Some studies currently have been reporting decreased mammography screening among breast cancer survivors. That's a huge concern, given the fact that this is a very at-risk population. And so, you know, from a behavioral science perspective, we can say that it may have something to do with booster types of messages regarding mammography screening, although that's not clear at this point. So these are the kinds of information that we were very interested in looking at in this particular study. So we wanted to know whether physicians were actually delivering these Institute of Medicine guidelines or information points to cancer patients, and also which patients were most likely to receive this kind of information by these specific categories, women of what demographics, what did this profile look like, what about their family histories, what about their level of comorbidity, and what about women who had greater recurrence concerns versus those who did not have these kinds of concerns. We also wanted to know about patient reports of these discussions in terms of screening guidelines, completing their cancer treatments, their following of recommendations for change in diet and exercise, and their demonstration of lower levels of cancer concerns about recurrence. So we hypothesized that the provision of information, these Institute of Medicine guidelines, would translate into more thorough discussions. Those are kind of one and the same. Potentially treatment completion and the following of recommendation of changes in diet and physical activity, and also a reduced risk of recurrence, as well as concerns about this recurrence, and the ability to follow low-fat diet and exercise guidelines. And where we're coming from regarding that is that the literature currently is identifying the importance of low-fat diet for breast cancer survivors in terms of reducing rates of recurrence. So there are two studies nationally that are ongoing, the WINS, the Women's Intervention Nutrition Study, and the WELL, in terms of looking at low-fat diet and rates of breast cancer recurrence. And the good news is for ER-negative women who have in the range of 40% lower rates of recurrence in the WINS trial. That's very important. Of course, there are some problems with these national trials, national dietary trials, because they typically enroll lower rates of minority women, fairly low rates of minority women, specifically African Americans. And also the women participants are all comers who tend to be better educated and higher income participants. So we're concerned about that. So this is a cross-sectional study that we did, 15-minute telephone interviews, largely done by a staff of medical student interviewers. There were incentives. Our participants were 35 to 70 years old. They had a primary breast cancer occurrence with no recurrence. They were African American or Caucasian. They were treated at our center, the Greenbaum Cancer Center, or the Baltimore Washington Medical Center, and they had completed their surgery and primary care treatment during this period of time. We hypothesized that women who reported discussions about the guidelines, or really the information points contained in the guidelines, would be more likely to follow screening, complete their cancer treatment, follow recommendations in diet and physical activity, and demonstrate lower levels of cancer concerns about recurrence. We also hypothesized that physicians were more likely to discuss these information points with cancer patients who had higher income and education, who had family histories of breast cancer, who had higher levels of comorbidities, and who had greater recurrence concerns. So these were some of the patient data. There's our study team. Here are the specific measures that we use. We constructed this Institute of Medicine scale, range of 0 to 10, mean 7.8, fairly high. And here are the specific information points. The type of surgery, women were asked, do you know the type of surgery you received? How about your stage of breast cancer, your ER receptive status, your PR receptor status? Did you receive a referral to a medical oncologist? What types of treatment did you receive? Some people might think that that could be a silly type of question, but we were surprised at the numbers of women who actually were not aware of this in terms of the types of treatment that they received or the protocol for this treatment. What were their post-treatment symptoms, and what changes in diet and physical activity to reduce their rates of recurrence? Cancer recurrence concerns were measured on this particular scale, 0 to 12. It was okay in terms of the alpha coefficient. And we asked about their comparisons to other women their age during the past month. How often have they thought about this? How worried were they overall about their chances? Here are the demographics, and I'm just getting my notification here. You can see that there were significant income differences between the Caucasians and African Americans, that there were significant differences in body mass index. None of this is a big surprise. The only comorbidity difference that was significant was diabetes. So this is what the Institute of Medicine guideline measures looked like in terms of a response of yes, which is in dark blue, versus a response of no, which is in light blue. And one of the things that I want to point out is that in terms of the actual treatments received, radiation, chemo, or hormonal therapy, we had responses from less than 75% of participants. They just flat out didn't answer, although there was a don't know category. They just were unable to answer this question. And we looked at it as to whether our interviewers were actually asking the question appropriately, and they were. They had been trained in this particular area. So in terms of delivery of the IOM guidelines or the particular information points, we did see that there was a significant difference in terms of income and education as we anticipated. And if you go down to the recurrence concerns here, we can also see that women who had more recurrence concerns were significantly more likely to have received these information points. And there was a significant correlation then between recurrence concerns and the information points of the IOM guidelines. So findings, no significant difference in discussion for African Americans and Caucasians. That was a bit of a surprise. Those with higher incomes and more education reported more discussion. Those with greater recurrence concerns reported more discussion. Recurrence concerns were significantly correlated with this discussion. If we looked at the associations between discussion and screening guidelines and treatment plans, the significance for breast exams was kind of marginal. We saw a significant association, again, between following recommendations for changes in diet. So apparently those recommendations do translate to women attempting to pay attention to and make modifications in their dietary plans, and again, significance for cancer concerns. So more IOM discussion was associated with following recommended dietary change. Patients with less concerns about recurrence reported less IOM discussion, which comes first, chicken or egg, hard to know with a cross-sectional study. And more IOM discussion was marginally associated with clinical breast exam frequency. We're going to have to move quickly through this one. There was marginal significance between concerns and following doctor's recommended exercise change. And no significance here in terms of recurrence concerns and screening, either by mammography or breast exam, clinical breast examination. So we concluded that there needs to be a focus on delivering these guidelines, these information points to disadvantaged patients, those with lower incomes than education. This is no difference from a number of other studies. And we also need to focus on ways to deliver information and guidelines to which promote quality of life and reduce risk of recurrence. And I think we are finished. Thank you. A very interesting population at our center at the University of Maryland in Baltimore and also at Baltimore Washington Medical Center, which is one of our sites, in the sense that in numerous qualitative and quantitative studies with this breast cancer population, we really find that the African-American patients report virtually no levels of discrimination from physicians. They do not feel that this is a particular issue. However, what they do feel is an issue is discrimination toward women who have less education and lower incomes. And that's the primary concern amongst both our African American and Caucasian survivor population. So I would think that that's probably what's driving this in terms of no significant differences.